knows how to make it all easy for you. When it comes to landscaping and gardening, who knows how to create the perfect scene? Snow knows Garden Center.
Good morning and welcome to the Snow Nose Gardening Show here on AM 1070. My name is Norm Carlson and we'll be here with you for about the next hour or so talking about all things gardening. Anything having to do with your trees, your shrubs, your lawn, houseplants, vegetable garden, flower garden, your perennials, anything with leaves and roots or stuff having to do with things with leaves and roots, like, you know, some of the insect problems and disease problems that come into play this time of year. All of those things will be help get you some great information on some of the newest and latest and best things that you can do to make sure that you have a beautiful yard and a beautiful garden and are able to enjoy the environment outside your home, and also hopefully increase the value of your home a little bit through some of the landscaping ideas and maintaining that investment that you've made in the landscaping around your home. Because after all, it is just that. It's an investment in your home, just as a kitchen remodel or a bathroom remodel. It's actually one of those things that brings the best return on investment for any of the home improvement projects that you can come up with and work on around the home. Landscaping brings one of the best returns on that, on those home improvement dollars. So if you'd like to join us for the show, our number is 977-1070. Give us a call. And if you have questions, things that you have run into, problems out in the garden or things that you've been wondering about, just give us a call and we'd be glad to help you out with that. Again, the number is 977-1070. Again, as always, you know, this time of year, there's no shortage of things happening out in the yard. Excuse me, allergies being one of them. but there's lots of things happening out in the garden, things that are going well, things that are not going so well, problems that you may be running into. So give us a call with any challenges that you're facing, and we'll help you get some of the best information available on how to solve that. And of course, one of the greatest things is all of the information that you get here is local and specifically tailored to the Central Virginia area. It's not we're not a syndicated show that has to cover wide ranges of growing conditions. Everything that we talk about is specific to the Charlottesville Albemarle area and of course the surrounding counties, Fluvanna and Green and Nelson, Buckingham, even over into the valley. We've got a tremendous amount of experience working in this area, dealing with what works and what doesn't work here. And we interact with hundreds of homeowners every month and work with hundreds of gardens and lawns and have a wide range of experience dealing with all kinds of different conditions that crop up, some good, some not so good, and trying to overcome the challenges that all of them face. So there are a few things that we haven't seen before. There's always something new that crops up, but a lot of the things that are out there that you may run into, we've probably seen it before, dealt with it before on some level. So if you've got something that's been just driving you nuts, give us a call and we'll try to help you out with it. Again, our number is 977-1070. One of the things that I wanted to talk a little bit about this morning is something that we don't normally think about all that much this time of year. It's usually something that we're thinking about a little earlier in the season, but is really reaching its most important function this time of year. So it's something that if you haven't done anything with it before now, it's definitely not too late and really is a critical time to be thinking about it. And that is the idea of mulch and mulching in the garden. Typically, it's something that we think about early in the season. The majority of our clients and particularly the people that we work with on the contracting side are thinking about and taking care of mulch in the garden in, you know, the early spring, you know, in March and April and into May. But this is a time of year when the functional part of mulching really takes center stage. In the earlier parts of the year, the main thing that, you know, we're thinking about when it comes to mulch is the aesthetics, the look and the appeal of the mulch visually in the garden and what it does to help to set off the plants, set off your planting beds, and those things that it visually does in the garden, as well as some of the weed suppression aspects of mulch. But one of the primary, most important functions of mulch in the garden is to help conserve moisture in the soil and keep the soil cool around the plant roots so that the plants are going to do better and perform better in the landscape through the drier and hotter months of the year, which, you know, given the earlier part of this week, we are very much into that season now. And it's something that you really should be taking a look at and thinking about in the garden. If you haven't put down a good layer of mulch in your planting beds yet this year, or maybe those beds are, you know, the mulch layer is getting a little bit thin, it's really important to replenish that mulch in your beds as we get into these hot, dry summer months to make sure that you're taking advantage of those most important benefits that mulch provides. Make sure that you've got a good layer down there that's going to help to conserve moisture. Not only does it help to prevent moisture from evaporating out of the soil on these hot, dry days, but it also helps to trap the moisture that does fall in some of these thunderstorms that we get. You know, rain can be hit or miss this time of year. You get areas that get a tremendous amount of rain out of one storm and other areas that don't. Earlier this week, we got a real gully washer out at the garden center. It was late afternoon, and we really got dumped on. And Corbin had gone into town to an appointment and texted me that just downtown Charlottesville, which is about 3 miles away, it was dry. There was no rain falling at all. And that's typically the way things work around here through the summer months. You get these storms that come through. And, you know, literally within a 3 or 4 mile difference, and sometimes even shorter than that, you get a huge difference in the amount of rainfall that you see. You may get, you know, one area may get a couple of inches, and just a couple of miles across town, you're getting zero. So to take advantage of what rainfall we do get, that mulch really does help to trap the water in the beds. What moisture falls in those areas stays in those areas. It doesn't wash off and run off the surface of the soil as much as it does in just exposed bare ground. And that is especially important if, as most of us do, you've got some varied terrain in your garden. A lot of the gardens in this area, most people's property has some slope to it, which, you know, is great for visual interest and things like that. Gives you a nice variety in the landscape, but can present some problems when it comes to dealing with rainfall and erosion and water movement through the garden. It can, if you don't have a good layer of mulch, it can literally just run off and you don't get anything, especially in these hard cloudburst downpour type thunderstorm scenarios that we have through the summer and into the early fall. A lot of that water just hits and runs off if you don't have a good layer of mulch built up. So not only does it help to prevent the soil from washing away, it also helps to trap that moisture in your planting beds and help to work down into the root zone where the plants can actually take advantage of it and use that moisture to sustain them and help keep them going in these hot, dry months without the need to resort to turning on the hose and using our potable water resources, which can become scarce. Thankfully, this year, you know, at this point, we're in pretty good shape. We've had enough rainfall to kind of keep the surface water flowing and keep the reservoirs full. But we never know when that, you know, when that may not be the case. So, as always, you want to be sure that you're using water as wisely in the garden as you can. And one way to do that is to keep a good mulch layer to help trap that water that falls on your property, on, you know, in those beds. Keep it there in the soil, help it to work down into the root system so that your plants are able to get the moisture that they need without having to tap into the municipal water supplies or dip into your well. I'm on a well, so that's something that's always kind of in the forefront for me. Thankfully, we've got thankfully been a good well. You know, we've got a good flow rate and, you know, seems to stay that way even when it gets relatively dry. But you never know when that may not be the case. And for a lot of people who are on wells, it's not the case. It, you know, the well doesn't generate a tremendous amount of water, so it really is critical to use that water and wisely and make sure that you're getting the biggest bang for your buck. And of course, having a good layer of mulch will do that, help do that for you. The other thing is it helps keep the soil cool. And one of the problems that we run into with these hot temperatures is the soil temperature really heats up, and that can stress the root system of your plants tremendously. We don't often think about what that does to the root system of the plant, but it does put a certain amount of stress on the roots of the plant when that soil level heats up. And a good layer of mulch will help to moderate those soil temperatures so that you don't see wide swings when we have these hot sunny days in the middle of summer when, you know, air temperatures are up in the upper 90s. Bare soil can heat up very, very quickly, whereas a soil with a good layer of mulch doesn't heat up quite as fast. And that's also a reason, you know, everybody likes the really, really dark colored mulch, but some of the lighter color mulches will help to, you know, not heat up quite so fast. So while that dark color may be a great appeal visually, if you're in an area that gets a lot of sun and your plants are really baking out there in the sun, perhaps a lighter color mulch is a better option to help to moderate some of that solar heating that can occur on the soil. But in any case, the most important thing to do is to make sure that you've got a good layer of mulch down in your beds. And as I say, typically we think about that as an early spring project. But if you haven't gotten around to it, or if your mulch has, you know, kind of biodegraded over time and the layer's not as thick as it once was or as it should be, this is a great time of year to think about boosting that layer of mulch, making sure that you've got an adequate layer there so that your plants are going to be healthy. Because after all, that's the main thing. You know, the looks that you get from it are great, but the main thing is making sure that the plants are healthy, and mulch can do a tremendous amount toward ensuring that you've got good, healthy plants in your landscape. As I talked about earlier on, landscaping really is an investment in your home. It's not just something to make the home look attractive, but it's also something to help increase the value of your home, and especially in a scenario where you're looking at resale in this kind of challenging home sales environment. Anything that you can do to improve the curb appeal of your home is going to improve the value and the saleability of that home, how quickly it's going to turn over. And anything that you can do to reduce the number of days that your home is on the market is a big plus. So if, in addition to the plant health aspects of mulching, that's a very inexpensive an easy thing that you can do to help turn your home over if you're looking at having to sell your home in this challenging market. A good layer of mulch in your beds goes a long way toward increasing the curb appeal, giving your home that tended to and cared for look that will help to make a good and favorable impression with a potential buyer as they come around and compare your home to the 3,800 or so other homes that are on the market in the area at the moment. So be mindful of the amount of mulch that you've got in your beds and the look of your beds. If you need a little bit of help with that, we've got plenty of bagged or bulk mulch in stock. You can come out to the garden center with a pickup, and we'd be glad to load you up with some bulk mulch, or give us a call at 296-9762. We'd be glad to deliver you a load. And we've got a wide variety of mulches in stock. It used to be, I know when I kind of got started in this business 20-some years ago in this area, you basically had one option for bulk mulch in particular, and that was the pine that most people used at that point. Was a great mulch, still is a wonderful mulch, degrades relatively slowly, stays around for a good amount of time in the beds, holds its color very, very well. One drawback to it is it does tend to float a little bit and can wash out on a steep slope. So in some of those areas, it's not necessarily your best option, but you know, was a great alternative for years and years and years. It still is. A lot of people still love it. It does a great job. Can't really say anything negative about it. But we've had a lot of other types of mulch enter into the arena now. We've got our most popular type of mulch is the double shredded hardwood that we used to sell just a little bit of that, and then I don't know what it was about 15 years ago or so, it just exploded and just totally overtook pine in its popularity. And now, although we still do sell pine and recommend it as a great mulch in the garden, the double shredded hardwood has overtaken it by leaps and bounds, and is by far and away the most popular mulch that we sell. The biggest benefit of the hardwood that I see is its fibrous, kind of stringy nature really does help it to knit together in your beds, and it stays put much better in some of the sloping scenarios that we run into in this area. It doesn't wash off of a slope as readily as the pine does. So that's a great benefit, and it really does help to stay put. The other varieties of mulch that are really becoming more and more popular here lately are some of the colored mulches. These tend to be where the pine and the hardwood are bark products, which degrade in the garden and help to build the soil. Some of these colored mulches are more of a wood product and don't decompose very quickly, which is great if you want the mulch to stay around and you know, you don't want to have to remulch quite as often, but the drawback is it doesn't help to build your soil quite as readily as some of the bark mulches do. The upside is they tend to hold their color very, very well. They don't fade like some of the bark mulches do. The hardwood, over time, the color tends to fade a little bit. Some of the colored mulches tend to hold their color a little bit better than the natural mulches do. They're, aside from, you know, not building the soil quite as well, you really can't take away from them. They're still a great product. Do a great job. Like I say, hold their color very, very well. We carry the black and brown currently. We've kind of gotten away from the red, which I was never a real fan of anyway. Some people like it. Personally, I don't. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just, you know, not really in my taste. But a lot of people love it. And, you know, what you like is what you like. And that's perfectly great for you. But anyway, there's lots of different variety in mulch that's available now. We can come up with something for just about any taste. But the key thing is to use a good quality mulch, use adequate quantities in the garden so that you're going to get the maximum benefit in suppressing weeds, retaining moisture in the flower beds and shrub beds, and helping to moderate the soil temperatures and prevent erosion. But whatever variety you like, all of them are going to do a great job with that. We've got to take a break for news, but we will be back in a few moments with more of the Snow-Nose Garden Show here on AM 1070. If you've been trying to get through on the phones, give us a call back right after the break. We'd be glad to get you on, but we will be back in just a moment. Good morning and welcome back to the Snow-Nose Gardening Show. I'm Norm Carlson here on this beautiful Saturday morning. You cannot beat the weather that we've had over the last two, 3 days. It has been absolutely spectacular, especially when you compare it to Monday and Tuesday, which we were doing every July and every January. We have to go through and count everything that's in the garden center and in the nursery, you know, do our semi-annual physical inventory. And we were talking about this earlier this week. It never fails, no matter what time frame we pick, no matter what day of July we pick to start inventory, the first two or three days of that inventory period are always the hottest of the season. It never, ever fails. So if you ever want to know when it's going to be really hot in the summer, just call us in the end of June and ask us, when do we have inventory scheduled? And that's what guaranteed that's when it's going to be the hottest of the whole month of July. But thankfully, we got through inventory. Everything's we got all that out of the way and taken care of. And as we got finished with counting everything outside, the weather cooled off. So and we've got a good break this weekend, some good cooler temperatures to take advantage of, to get out, get some of that stuff done in the garden. It was great. I was out Thursday evening working fairly well until I pretty much ran out of sunlight. And it was very pleasant to be out there working. You could do just about anything you wanted to, and it was comfortable, and I got a ton of weeds pulled some things planted and a couple of little projects taken care of that were just great to get out of the way. It was a good opportunity to do some things and get some things out of the way and be comfortable doing it. And we're going to have that today, and still a little bit, not quite so comfortable, but still in that realm tomorrow. But as we get working through next week, it's going to get hot again. So, if you've got some things that have been on your mind, this is a great opportunity to get it taken care of. One thing that I do want to mention along those lines, if you're looking at doing some fall reseeding in your lawn, and for most people in this area with a tall fescue lawn, it's a good thing to do, particularly if you haven't done it in the last couple of years, maybe, you know, trying to, as a lot of us are, conserve your finances a little bit and have cut back on some of the seeding and things like that that you've done in your lawn, haven't done quite as much lawn maintenance over the last couple of years. Seriously consider working that into the budget for this fall. It doesn't take long for a lawn in this area to really go downhill and kind of deteriorate. Tall fescue does not spread the way some types of lawns do. You know, bluegrass, Bermuda grass down south of here, even some of the perennial rye that we have in the cooler regions will tilt, what's called tillering. They spread and will reproduce that way and help to thicken up some bare spots, and overseeding is not as critical. But with tall fescue, you don't get a lot of that fill-in growth, and the only way to thicken a tall fescue lawn is to overseed it. So if you've got some bare spots that are developing, and that is a natural thing that occurs over time, just like anything else, grass plants don't live forever. They have a limited lifespan, and over time they thin out. So you do need to go back and reseed periodically to keep your lawn thick and full. And the best time to do that is in September. And if you've got some broadleaf weeds that are starting to creep in and you want to get those under control before you overseed, this is the time to put those broadleaf weed control products down. It typically takes about 4 to 6 weeks for the residue of those weed control products to dissipate in the soil. And if you're looking at doing something in the first part of September, you want to get that broadleaf weed control product down early enough that you're able that residue is gone by the time you're trying to seed. And guess what? 6 weeks from now is the 1st of September. The other thing that comes into play, it's not a good idea to use a lot of those broadleaf weed control products when the temperatures are up into the mid and upper 90s, the way they will be later on and the way they were, you know, earlier this week. But the mid 80s, like we have this weekend, is perfect. The weeds are going to be growing. They're going to be doing their thing. It's cool enough, however, that the grass is not going to be injured by the weed control products that you use. So this is a great opportunity to get out there, get those broadleaf weed control products down so you can get those broadleaf weeds out of the way in time to do your fall seeding in another 6 weeks. So if you've got that in the plans for this fall, or you know, even if you're not going to be doing a lot of seeding but just want to get those weeds out of the way, and they're maybe, you know, starting to creep in a little more than you'd like this summer, this is the perfect weekend to get that done. Our number is 977-1070 if you have a question that you would like to ask. We've got a couple of callers on the line, so good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning. I had a question for you.
Okay.
The question is, you're talking about putting down the broadleaf weed killer now.
Right.
I always have a question as to whether does it matter whether I mow my yard first and then put that down, or do I have to put that down before I cut and then don't cut for a couple of days?
That's an excellent question, and one that can kind of go either way. There's a couple of schools of thought. One is mow it, let it go for a couple of days to kind of heal over so that the weed control product isn't going on to fresh injury on the turf grass, which can give it a better avenue to get in and can lead to some additional yellowing and potential injury on the desirable grasses. The other is to, like you say, apply the product and then let it go for a couple of days before you cut it. And really either one of them will do just fine. The key is not to, you know, have the grass so tall that, number one, it's kind of covering over some of the weeds and preventing the product from getting in there and contacting the foliage of the weeds. And then by letting it go for a few days, it's not going to get, you know, so tall that when you do mow it again, particularly in the heat of the summer, that it's not going to take so much growth off that ends up injuring the desirable grasses.
Right. Yeah, the problem is all you have is a weekend.
Right.
All the other days of the week are occupied with other things. So,
exactly.
Mowing and weed poison is only on the weekend. And does it matter that I've been mowing my yard taller, you know, like on the second to highest, just because of the heat? I don't want to have to even think about watering, but I still want to see green. Does that matter?
No. In fact, that's a great thing to do, and that actually will help to reduce the weed population in the lawn anyhow. Anything that you can do to enhance the health of your desirable turf grasses is going to minimize the ability of the weeds to outcompete the grass. The best way to have a weed-free lawn or the best way to reduce the number of weeds that you get in your lawn is to have good, healthy turf grass to begin with.
Okay, so, terrific. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the show and appreciate your information. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. So, yeah, if you're confined to just a weekend to get it done, probably what I would do is mow the lawn as early as you can on Saturday morning, and then wait as long as you can to put the weed control product down so that you get it down, you know, maybe, you know, either do it Saturday night or sometime on Sunday or even first thing Monday morning before you head off for work. And then you'll have good results that'll give the lawn enough time to heal over and prevent any injury that way. But you're still able to get it down and get it done in a time frame when you're not occupied with work and everything else that unfortunately occupies all of our free eliminates our free time. Scott has made it in, has joined us. Good morning, Scott.
Oh, I'm late?
No, you're not. Well,
what time does the show start?
Not so much that you were late. You just had an appointment that ran long.
And I had some wonderful clients at the garden center today, and we were out looking through the nursery. And I got to tell you, we got all kinds of plants there.
We do.
We really do have an excellent selection for this time of year. So if you've got a little project in mind and you need a little plant to fill in here and there, we got some beautiful ones. I can tell you, the hydrangeas are looking absolutely incredible right now. We got a fantastic selection to add some color to your garden. Got some beautiful little Richard Abelia that are in absolute full flower. Mm-hmm. Have Bloomerang Lilac if you've been looking for some of those. Those are a real hard plant to get your hands on. We got some beauties in the garden center. Got some Low and Grow Buddleia that are in great flower. And then you go in the perennial section and there's just a ton of stuff. So If you got something you need to fill in, or if you got a little project and have a little bit of time to take advantage of, looks like today might be one of the last nicer days. come on out to the garden center, get it this morning, and have it, you know, in this afternoon.
That's right. And we've got a caller on the lines. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Gardening Show.
Good morning. I have a couple of questions. I have green beans that are just look beautiful, best they've looked in years, because of the rain, but they're not forming many blooms. What should I do? And I have a neighbor who is in the same situation.
It's probably just a matter of giving them a little extra time to mature. Sometimes, as we have the real hot spurts like we had earlier this week, and unfortunately, we're going to get toward the end of this coming week. A lot of your vegetable plants tend to slow down on their production of flower buds and fruit and things like that. So it may be that this cool snap that we've had these last couple of days will help to encourage them to go ahead and set those flower buds and produce the buds for you. Right. Are they getting plenty of sun?
They get they miss some of the morning sun because of tree canopy.
Okay.
They probably are in full sun from 11:30, and then late in the evening it gets filtered.
Okay, yeah. As long as they're getting 4 to 6 hours of direct sun a day, they should be in good shape. That's typically what's considered a full sun. Is anything more than 4 to 6 hours per day? Yeah, at this point, the way phosphorus moves down through the soil and everything, and with the maturity of the plants, I'm not sure that they would get a tremendous amount.
I had soil
amount.
Analysis that said I was perfect. So.
Yeah, and excuse me, and that's relatively normal for our area and our soils. One thing that you might consider as a way to get a little bit of additional phosphorus into the plants is try a bloom booster type water-soluble fertilizer and put it not just in the soil, but spray it on the foliage of the plants as well. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you want to do that in the cool of the morning so that it's not on there in the middle of the day, but maybe makes it a little bit weaker than what the label recommendations are, so that you're sure to avoid any foliar burn with the product. But a lot of those water-soluble fertilizers, we overlook the fact that nutrient can be absorbed through the leaves as well. Mm-hmm. And that's a good option for getting something on and getting something on quick.
Okay. Another quick question.
I tend to get bacterial wilt on my cucumbers, and I wanted to spray, but I don't want to kill the bees. When do you spray for, or just like 7 or something, when do you put that out to avoid hurting the bees?
Right. Yeah, good, excellent question. And, you know, that's a product that typically you want to get on and use that before the plants actually go to flower. Once they're in flower, you know, for the bee population and everything, I would try to avoid using 7. There are other products that have a little bit less impact on the bees. There's one called 8 that does a great job on many of the same kinds of insect pests that 7 works on, but is a little bit less impactful of the bees. And, you know, even then with bacterial wilt, sometimes it helps and sometimes it doesn't, because obviously it's caused by a bacteria that is spread by the insects. But, you know, once that wilt gets in there, you know, it's just, unfortunately, it's just there.
I don't see any evidence of it now. I have more blooms than I've ever seen in my life on my cucumbers. They're beautiful, but should I go ahead and spray the 8 now?
Yeah, I think you'd be safe to go ahead and do that. And again, I would put it on in the afternoon, and then be able to be there through the evening hours and overnight. And because typically the bee activity on all of your cucumbers and squash and things like that is really heaviest in the morning, and by mid to late afternoon, most of the flowers have faded, so that there's really not a lot of bee activity around, which is a great time to be able to do a lot of those kinds of activities, since
like around 3?
Yeah, 3 or, you know, 3 or later.
Okay. What about, I have the biggest population of violets that you have ever seen in your life. What's the best thing to spray? And I've heard that it's advantageous to put a thicker or a few drops of detergent in the spray as well.
There's a product called Spurge Power that tends to work. That works about the best of anything that we've seen other than Roundup on wild violets. Wild violets are one of the most difficult lawn weeds to get rid of, especially as you get it, you know, this far into the season, they get this much maturity on them. They really can be tough to control, and it may take a couple of 3 applications of the product to really wipe them out. The good thing is the Spurge Power is safe for your lawn. It's not going to kill your desirable turf grasses, but it does do a pretty good job at getting rid of the wild violets.
Okay. Is it best not to mow then, because you want the full leaf?
Yeah, if you can avoid that, that's going to help.
Okay, and how long before I could mow after I applied it?
One of the things you actually may want to try, and one of the things about the violets, one of the reasons they're kind of hard sometimes to control is, do the ones you have right now have a real waxy cuticle on them? Is it looking real shiny?
Probably some of them do. They're so ubiquitous that they're everywhere. I just kind of have to close my eyes.
One of the things that's actually worked fairly well for us in the past is you go through and you actually, instead of mowing, you take the weed eater and put it up on the side and kind of just knock the tops off of them. Because if it's real glossy and real shiny leaf, it's hard to get the herbicide to actually absorb in. The other thing that we often do is we go through and we'll actually take a weed eater and just burn the whole area down to the ground, meaning we physically just take the weed eater straight down to the soil. Then you wait for them to come back, and as they start coming back, they have very soft leaves, you know, kind of papery, and at that point you can hit them with the herbicide, and the herbicide tends to be more effective.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you mean. Okay. Well, we'll try that.
Yeah, but the Spurge Power, we have tried that in the past, and that, as Norman mentioned, that does work. You know, we have had some pretty good success with that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hey,
thank you.
Bye.
And of course, you know, if they completely take over, one of the things that we often overlook with violets is, and it's absolutely true, if you've got wild violets that are absolutely taken over everywhere, you can always just cultivate them and use them in a salad. And seriously, they are, believe it or not, they are edible. And actually, don't taste half bad. So you can add them into your salad greens if they're completely taken over everywhere. So, you know, don't despair. They do have a use. And, you know, if you want to do, you know, put edible flowers into salads and things like that earlier in the season when they're in bloom, they're a great option for that. But just know that if you have a couple in a short order, you'll have a couple hundred. But, you know, they do have value, even though they are awful as a weed problem in the lawn. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning. I have a couple questions. One is that I bought what I believe to be a rubber mat that's water permeable to put around trees to keep the weeds from growing around new trees. Are you familiar with that product?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I see that there are rolls of it available, 6 foot long by maybe 2 feet wide. And I'm assuming it's made from ground up tires. I don't know if that's right or not.
Yeah.
So how would that be? And I know that they sell ground up tire mulch now. What's your opinion about the value or, you know, detriment or using that as mulch means you've had mulch forever, but is it good for your garden?
Yeah, you know, the use of mulch, I mean, it's more of, especially for cooling the soil, keeping down weeds, you know, of course, that will do the job. I know a lot of people, one of the most effective mulches you can use is actually newspaper. You just lay newspaper down, and it keeps anything from coming up, and it does, you know, a very nice job. The number one negative that you get is, of course, it has no soil enhancing. And in this area, because our soils are typically so poor, your mulch is actually doing three things for you. It's cooling the ground, it's trapping the moisture in, it's keeping the weeds down. But one of the number one things it's doing is it's actually improving your soil. So as you use a pine mulch or a hardwood mulch, especially the finer it's ground, you'll go back the next year and you're like, daggone it, I got a mulch again. All my mulch washed away. Well, it didn't. Right. If you look, what it did is it created this wonderful organic layer right there at the surface of the soil that is perfect. It breaks down the clay. It adds all those microorganisms that we need. You know, so it is actually improving your soil. So, you know, the positive is, of course, it's a recycled material that does the job very well and does last for a long time. So if you're in a scenario where you, number one, don't need to improve your soil, or especially these synthetic mulches are used often in playgrounds or in areas where you're not planning on growing plants and even don't want to grow plants, then, you know, it would be fine. So, so, you know, in terms of doing half the job, I think it does a great job and it definitely has its application. But if you're trying to get your mulch to improve your soil, you know, it's not going to do anything in that behalf.
Okay, that's a good answer. I like that. Thank you so much.
Oh, I got more answers.
One other thing. I put on, you've been advising me about my lawn, and I put on, I think it was a Bayer product to take away the weeds.
Okay.
And I still have clover all over the place. Was that not part of the weed killer?
It is, but clover can be one of the, depending on what time of year you apply the product, clover can be a little challenging to control. You think of it as, you know, a normal lawn weed that, you know, that everybody has, and, you know, you typically don't think of it as being that much of a challenge, but it really can be a difficult one to control. So, again, kind of like the wild violets, it's one that may take a couple of applications to get it under control, particularly if you put the product down early in the spring, as that clover is first coming out, it tends to control it a little easier than it does when it's well established this time of year, for example. But you know, just know that that's one that you may have to come back through and reapply. Well, we're about out of time for this week. Hour went by quick. We got about a minute left.
That was the shortest show. Golly, that was a short show. I can't believe I've been here for a whole hour.
You only made it for about 15 minutes.
Glenn, you better check your watch. I think something's up over there.
But as Scott, as you were saying earlier, we've got a tremendous selection of plant material out at the Garden Center right now, a great selection of perennials. I know Echinacea, purple cone flower, it's a great deer-resistant perennial. We've got probably one of the better selections that we've ever had. New varieties are coming out on that almost, seems like almost every month.
Exactly.
And some of the new ones that are out there are absolutely beautiful. We've got all kinds of different new and different coreopsis in the perennial garden, some that are true perennials, some that are more on the annual side, not quite as hardy, but still a beautiful variety of plants to choose from.
Come on in and get some inspiration, and once you do, then get off your couch and go play in your yard.
Take care. We'll see you right back here next week.